that it was so cold that the squirrels were looking for electric fence to warm up, to grab a hold of something to warm them up. And somebody said, no, it's really colder than that. Somebody said it was so cold that the rabbit dogs, Brother Charles, were getting jumper cables to jump off the rabbits to get them to run. That's what I'd heard, that it's so cold. No, somebody said, you know how cold it was? Said it was so cold that Grandpa's teeth chattered in the glass of water. I mean, it was that cold. It was cold, definitely. Somebody said, you know, and don't take this personally, Brother Ken, there's some good men out there. But somebody said it's so cold, the lawyers had their hands in their own pockets for a change. Amen. We appreciate good Christian lawyers. All right. Praise God. I got a call last Thursday morning about 8:15 in the morning. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was colder up there than it was down here. But anyway, and this was the one of our men called from the church, and he asked me, he said, Pastor, he said, things are going on. He said, man, what in the world is going on with our world? And I said, what do you mean? He said, man, it just looks like things are just happening. And you know what? I began to think after we talked for a little while, and he described about these men that were paraded, these 21 men, Coptic Christians from Egypt, and paraded down to the beach of Libya. And you saw the pictures, and I've got one there on the computer, Katie, if you would bring it up, please. You saw the men as they paraded, kneeled down before these men, these ICE or Islamic men, and what a brutal way to kill somebody. And they forced them face down, and then they just severed their heads from their bodies. Can you believe it? 21 Christian men. But you know what, as this man and I were talking, I said, but wait a minute, I remember in the Bible, this is nothing new, really, because in the Bible, there was a man by the name of John the Baptist that, remember that he had his head severed from his body as well, as he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And then I said, you know what, come to think of it, I've read over there in the book of Acts, chapter 12, where a man named James was also beheaded in prison because of his love for the Lord. I said, you know, come to think of it, I read over there in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 4, where there John says, I saw a great multitude who did not receive the mark of the beast, nor worship the beast or receive his image. And thus they were too beheaded. And yet John says they will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years. Where in the world are we headed? I begin to think about all the things that have been happening in our world, particularly in this nation last week. And the Lord began to stir my heart about something is fixing to happen. Something is fixing to happen. You'd ask any of the old timers, they'll tell you something is fixing to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it is. I can't explain it all. But I do know this. Something is about to happen. I want to preach on that subject today. Something is about to happen. And here's where we're going. There are certain questions, namely four questions, in uncertain times that were birthed on my heart to share with you today. Four certain questions for uncertain times that should cause us to sell out, should cause us to love the Lord, should cause us to want to serve the Lord, should cause us to want to be all we can in these days of uncertainty. Not only from a military standpoint, political standpoint, religious standpoint, spiritual standpoint, economic standpoint, no one could deny that it looks like something's about to happen. And I believe we ought to get in on what God is up to in these days. If you got your Bibles, turn to, please, the book of Psalm, chapter 33. And if you like, stand as we read the wonderful word of God together, Psalm 33. I had the privilege this morning of getting up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I could not sleep. And it's been on my mind and heart all morning long to get here to the house of God. It's my highlight during the week to come to church. Psalm chapter 33. Here, we do not know exactly who the author was. Some say David, some say Hezekiah, some say Jehoshaphat, some say maybe Asa. Frankly, it doesn't matter who really was the author. The point is, it's inspired of God. How many believe that the Bible is inspired of God? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I hope everybody believes the Word of God is inspired. In fact, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's say that together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Say it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some, not part, not just part of it. Every single bit of it. By the way, Peter wrote and said, that's Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. Peter said, know this, Timothy, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here we find in the book of Psalm chapter 33, and if I could give you a very quick outline the Lord gave me as I was waiting upon him, here's what it would be. Number one, verses 1-5, look, we ought to rejoice in the Lord today because verses 1-5, because of who he is. Secondly, verses 6-9, not only should we rejoice in the Lord because of who he is, but we should rejoice in the Lord because of what he has done. We'll see in a moment his mighty hand of creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. Thirdly, we find in verses 10-18, not only who he is, not only what he's done, but thirdly, aren't you glad to know that how he is in control? If you believe God's in control, say amen. Amen. He's in control. In the midst of all the calamity and all the confusion and all of the catastrophe that's happening today, it's comforting and assuring to know that our God is in control. And then finally, the conclusion of the chapter, namely verses 20-22, isn't it good to know that not only who God is and what he's done and the fact that he's in control, but we ought to know that our God is our help. So I said all that to lead us into the book of Psalm chapter 33. There are four certain questions that I'll give you in a moment for uncertain times. We're reading in Psalm 33 verse 1. If you're there, say amen. By the way, this was during a time of national crisis in the life of the psalmist. A national crisis. I dare say that I think America is on the brink of a national crisis. Wouldn't you agree with me today? I said, wouldn't you agree with me today? I said, open your eyes and see that America is in a crisis today, perhaps like never before. But again, something is about to happen. I don't know what it is, but God has stirred the hearts of people and evidently allowing things to happen in our world, and it indicates something's about to happen. Look at verse 1 of chapter 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I can say amen to that. Verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verse 10, pay a special attention to it. This is perhaps the verse that God the Spirit led me to exegete, or at least to go back to today for the message. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth, and the word Lord, there's Yahweh, of course, that self-existing God. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Pause for a moment. The word counsel there is an interesting word, which means advice. The Lord bringeth the advice, counsel, or can be translated purposes. The Lord bringeth the counsel or the advice of the heathen. Other translations use the word nations. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen or the nations to naught, to nothing. He maketh the advice of the people of none effect. Verse 11, the counsel or the advice of the Lord standeth forever. And the children of God said, amen. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. By the way, the word generations there means a future generation as well as all generations, but particularly a duration of future generations. I'm glad to tell you the word of God will stand no matter how things come and go. Verse 12, you know it very clearly. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's say that together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And of course, this was written to Israel primarily, but certainly the application can apply to any nation. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. And a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I like verse 20. My soul waiteth. And the word wait, of course, means long for. Can you tell me today that you really long for the Lord? Is your heart really beating after God? The psalmist said this, our soul waiteth, longs for the Lord. Do you really have a heart for God? Do you long to know him and to know the power of his resurrection? Do you really want to know the fellowship even of his suffering? Verse 20, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help. Glory. I can say shout hallelujah right there. He is our help. Yes, he is. And our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we've trusted in his holy name. I'll tell you, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope or wait in thee. This is the word of God. And all God's people said, glory to God. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father. Jesus, you, the living word, became the written word, and the written word becomes the preached word, and the preached word becomes the fleshed out word. I pray, precious Holy Spirit of God, you'll give us your mind, the mind of Christ this morning. You'll search us. You'll encourage us. You'll stir our hearts. You'll cause us, Father God, to surrender and yield to the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you now for victory in Jesus. Thank you that you are on your throne and your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. And Lord, even though we look around us and there are many in fear and in insecurity, we can stand firmly upon your will and your word and things done your way for your glory. We bless you today. We love you today. We worship you today. I'm asking now for a mighty touch of the Holy Ghost today, for the anointing not only of the preaching of the word of God, but the hearing of the word. I pray the Holy Ghost, God our Father, will anoint every ear that hears the word. Give us ears, our dear Lord, that are in tune to thus saith the Lord, and give us hearts that'll be pliable, that'll be moldable, that God our Father will be changeable by your Holy Spirit. Thank you now for what you're going to do this day. We give you advance praise for the lives that are going to be changed, the hearts that are going to be turned heavenward. And Lord, we bless you that you're faithful and trustworthy to keep all of your promises. And we give you glory now in Jesus' mighty name for the privilege of worshiping you once more again and fellowshipping around your throne at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here are the four questions. Here are four certain questions in an uncertain time. Four certain questions in an uncertain time. Number one is this. They're very simple. This is what God gave me to give to you. Number one, where in the world are we heading? Where in the world are we heading? That's the question number one. In verse number 10, notice what the psalmist said. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught or to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Where in the world are we heading? Number two, what are we to do? What are we to do in the light of all that's going on in our world presently? You take, for example, Russia right now. Even though they supposedly signed this peace treaty, they're not interested in peace, not at all. President Vladimir Putin, he's intended in taking over Ukraine. That seems to be very evident. And not only that, but President, I just saw this morning, early in the wee hours, in the paper this morning, Benjamin Netanyahu will be coming here to America, Prime Minister of Israel, on March the 3rd. Even though there are those in this country who do not want him to be here, would rather him not be here, albeit he's still going to be here, and he's probably going to, no doubt, bring the report on Iran and the situation in Iran and their nuclear capability and the sanctions that, unfortunately, we have withdrawn as a nation from Iran. Well, question number three. Not only where in the world are we heading, not only what in the world are we to do, number three, how are we to live? How are we to live? That's right. And then finally, number four, why can we have confidence and assurance in days that are uncertain like today? How and why can we have confidence and assurance? I dare say today, there's a lot of us today that have been anxious this week. There's a lot of us today that have been worried, that we have been troubled about some situation perhaps you're going through. Well, number one, where in the world are we heading? Where in the world are we heading? Now, I suggest to you, there are at least three places we are heading according to the Bible. Number one, we are heading to see Jesus coming in the clouds. We're heading to hear not the signs, see the signs. Rather, we're heading to hear the trumpet sound again. I personally believe the rapture of the church is the next event on God's calendar. Remember, Paul wrote and he said, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. By the way, you do know the word rapture. You do not find it in the New Testament. The word caught up is the word harpazo, Latin word, which means to snatch by force. The next event, may I suggest to you today, is that great getting up morning. I'm looking forward to it one of these old days when the Father says to the Son, Son, it's time to go get your bride. How many looking forward to Jesus coming again? He's coming again in what we call as the bridegroom of the church. I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to step out on the clouds of glory and he's going to call his bride home. Do you realize if you're part of the blood-lost church, we are the bride of Christ. And furthermore, the word teaches us that our works, that is, him working in us and through us, will be literally the wedding garments at the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm telling you, Revelation 19 describes when Jesus and his bride will sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What else are we going to see? I'll tell you what we're going to see. There's no doubt about it. We are heading to see that man of sin, the Antichrist, rise up in power. Some suggest that the Antichrist is living right now. I do not know if the Antichrist is living now, but I do know this. No one could deny, I don't think there's anybody here that would deny, some things that have happened in our world, some things that have happened in America. Some of you that have lived a little bit longer in time, you never would have dreamed the things that are going on in our world. I heard a report, for example, last week of a man who was in Israel. Guess what? His name is Rabbi Conahan, and this man is scheduled to be the next high priest in Israel. Do you know they've already fitted him for his clothes? That is, they're preparing in some time in the near future. I don't know when, but I thought it was interesting as he was being interviewed that he has got his clothes. They're ready. They've already been made for him. They're in the closet. When the time comes, all he has to do is slip them on and he will fulfill that high priestly role when the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. How many believe that the temple will be rebuilt? Let me see your hand. I mean, I don't care. Let me see your hand. It's going to be rebuilt. It's in the process of being rebuilt. Harps are already being made. I saw a man that was interviewed, he and his wife. For the first time in 2,000 years, they've got a harp manufacturing business there in Israel. They've been making harps for a number of years, as well as the garments for the other priests, 28,000. They're already boxed up. They have people's names on them. I'm telling you this, it's later than we think. And some of you can see that certainly we are living in times that are uncertain, but I'm glad to tell you God's word is still certain. We're going to see the Antichrist one of these days come and sit in the temple of God, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. He says that he'll come and sit in the temple of God and show himself that he is God, and that's exactly what's going to happen. I do believe this. We're going to see a tyrant, we're going to see a temple, and then we're going to see a tracking number. First, we're going to see a tyrant. I've just described to you, according to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 through 45, he will honor the God of forces, and he will be a man of charisma. But wait a minute, there will be a temple built. How do I know that? In the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 45, Daniel wrote hundreds of years before the event took place, he said, he shall plant the tabernacles. He, meaning the Antichrist, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palaces in between the seas in that glorious holy mountain. What seas is he talking about? Look up here for a moment. Look at my hand. The seas, if you went to Jerusalem, you'd find the Sea of Galilee is north. You'd find the Sea of Mediterranean Sea is to your west. You'd find the Sea of the Dead Sea is kind of south, and it's kind of south east as well as the Red Sea. The bottom line is the Antichrist will plant his tabernacles in between the seas, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 45. But how many know that there will be a tracking system? I don't have time this morning. I started to, but I said no, and the Lord seemed to lead me elsewhere, of some of the latest technology that's now already being implemented in our society. What are you talking about, Brother Pastor? I'm glad you asked. The implementation of microchips already being used in hospitals, and not only in the hospitals, but for tracking lost equipment like cars and vehicles, trailers, and the list goes on and on and on. Did you know that they're now suggesting, I don't know if it's been done or not, but they're inserting smartphones under the skin of people in their arms. Wow. I'm telling you, things are happening faster than we can even realize. It's amazing, as Daniel says, that there would be in these days in which we're living. I think that God is doing some things, no doubt. But isn't it also amazing how there seems to be a coming together, a tracking, if you will. In fact, John wrote in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, he said this. He called, speaking to the Antichrist, in the context it's the beast rising up from the sea. The beast, the Antichrist, not some hideous creature, but rather a man who's the very embodiment of the devil. And he says he'll cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead, that they might not, that they may buy or sell. And he that has not the mark of the beast will not buy or sell. Here is wisdom. Let him understand. It's the number of a man. The number is 666. All right? Hey, that's what God says in his word. How many believe that's going to happen? How many believe that we're heading that way? How many believe things are happening even now? I don't know when. No one knows when. But I know this. I know it's sooner than it's ever been. I know it's later than it's ever been. I know God's calling us to love him, to serve him, and to get serious about our relationship with him. I do believe that with all of my heart. Have you ever noticed a time? Notice some of the countries in our world that seemingly are coming together in a coalition. For example, what about over in France when ISIS, Islamic State, by the way, who have already declared a caliphate, and al-Baghdadi is their leader. Make no mistake about it. They said, even I read this morning in the paper, Rome is on their radar. Jerusalem is on their radar. Mark it down. United States is on their radar. And there in France, what took place just a few weeks ago with the Muslim terrorists storming and killing those people in that printing place. But what about Jordan? Remember I showed you the picture of the Jordanian pilot who was burned literally to death by fire. Now Jordan has joined into this coalition to fight ISIS. What about last week? Just showed you the picture of the Egyptian Christians, the Coptic Christians, 21 of them, beheaded on the shores of Libya. Now, Egypt has also joined in this force, along with, supposedly, as well as the United States and Britain. What am I saying? I'm saying there's a forming a coalition. Do you realize, my brother and my sister, that one of these days, there's going to be a coalition of nations. And you better believe that I believe personally. I'm not saying directly from what's going on with ICE, but I'm saying this. There is going to be a one world government. Write it down. Write it down. That's what God's word declares. In fact, the beast will be a political ruler. He will have his religious ruler, namely that false prophet that will cause, this is in Revelation 13 if you're wondering, cause people to worship the beast and his image. Well, all I'm saying is this, where in the world are we heading? We are heading like lightning speed to a fulfillment of the word of God and God's promises. Hey, you say, but Brother Pastor, you preachers are always talking about this. You've been talking about this for years. Well, let me ask you a question. Has God fulfilled his word in the past? I said, has God fulfilled his word in the past? Has God done what he said he would do concerning Jesus' first coming? Hello? Yes, yes, yes. Did God fulfill his word when he said, Daniel, that they'll come and rebuild the walls in 445 B.C. under Nehemiah's reign? Remember, he was cupbearer of the king. Did they do that? Absolutely. Did God allow his people to return after they were in exile, captivity, for 70 years, according to the word of Jeremiah in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21, to fulfill Jeremiah's prophet? Did the prophecy of Jeremiah, did that happen? Absolutely. When? Remember Cyrus the king? Remember Ezra 1? Remember Ezra 6? Remember the 50,000 Jews that came back? Hey, listen to me, folks. If God has fulfilled his word in the past, none of us should ever question that his word will be fulfilled in the future. None of us should ever wonder if he's going to fulfill his word. All I'm doing is telling you what the word of God is saying. Now you can say, well, you can shut it off if you want to. Or you can say, God, I believe something's about to happen. I don't know what. It might be happening in your personal life. It might be happening somewhere else down the road. Things are happening all the time. Well, where are we heading? I love the story of that man, 99 years old. He's out there riding on I-20. His wife calls him and says, honey, he said, what? She said, I'm watching the news right now. She said, there's some idiot. You need to be careful. There's some idiot out here on I-20. He's going, whoever it is, they're going in the wrong direction. Watch out. He stopped and paused. He said, what? He said, there's more than one idiot. They're all idiots. They're all going in the wrong direction. I'm the only one going the right direction. Where are you heading? Where are you heading? Number two, the second question, a certain question in an uncertain time is this. Not only where are we heading, number two, what are we to do? What are we to do? May I share with you five ways that God would have us respond in the light of what we're going through. Look at the book of Psalm in chapter 33 and verse number 9, 10 and 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen and to naught, to nothing. I'm glad to know that. I sit in control. God's in control. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And by the way, that word forever is the word olam. Olam means forever. When God says forever, he means forever. And God said, the counsel of the Lord will stand forever. Well, glory. And then look at verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Number two, what should we do? What should we do in the light of what is happening today? Can I give you five things the Lord gave me? Number one, we need to get up. We need to get up. Number two, we need to stand up. We need to stand up. Number three, we need to check up. We need to check up. Number four, we need to shape up. We need to shape up. Number five, we need to look up. We need to look up. Number one, we need to get up. I love what our Lord said in the light of his coming again. You know what he said? Over there in Luke chapter 19, he said this in that parable of the talents. And I realize from a technical, interpretational viewpoint, it's mainly to Israel and whom he's speaking at that time, mainly to the Jewish people. However, there are some spiritual applications to the technical interpretation of Scripture. In this case, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus said to that crowd, and I believe he's saying to us today, you know what he said? He said, occupy till I come. occupy till I come. Let's say that together. Occupy till I come. One more time. Occupy till I come. What does he mean? He means be busy about his business. He means no man putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He means this. He means invest. He means make a difference. He means let God use you until he comes again. Number one, we need to get up. May I remind you what Paul wrote to the Roman believers? He said in chapter 13, verse 11, knowing the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm not being critical. I'm not being fault-finding here. I just want to ask you a question. How many of you have been asleep, spiritually speaking? Don't raise your hand. You really don't have a real appetite for the things of God. Really no burden, no passion to see lost people saved. Perhaps. I know you've got an appetite for the Word or you wouldn't be here today. But the question is, how many of you felt sleepy, lethargic? How many of you felt kind of cold and indifferent? How many just kind of felt distant from God? How many of you are sensing the still small voice of the Holy Ghost of God? How many of you are walking in the light as he is in the light? How many of you have got a vibrant, dynamic, burning fire in your soul to serve God while there's time? How many know that life's short? How many know that life is but a vapor? I'm telling you, our life might be over next week. Next week. And what you and I do and God does through us, we had better do it now. You can play with your life and procrastinate with your life and make all excuses in your life if you want to. One of these days, we'll draw our last breath. One of these days, our heart will beat for the last time. One of these days, we will stand before God. I don't know about you, but I do believe I know about many of you today. You want to fight the fight of faith. You don't want to be sidetracked. You don't want to be distracted. Hey, how many of you got weary in well-doing? You just kind of got weary in well-doing. How many kind of got tired and frustrated? How many have gotten a critical attitude or a critical spirit? How many know that it's easy during this day and time to get a bad attitude? Somebody say amen. Man, you got cabin fever. You've been in the house all week. You know, cold and all that, man. The next thing you know what happens, we start complaining. But we've got more to shout about, as Brother Phil would say, than we do to pout about. Really. And instead of whining, we ought to be shining. Amen. Hey, in the light of Jesus and him being crucified, is there any sacrifice that you can give or I can give that's too much for the one that gave us all for us? Absolutely not. Tell me, where are you at in your relationship with him? Check up. First of all, there it is. Get up. Secondly, stand up. I love what Paul wrote. Stand up. Number two, stand up. In that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how many know 15th chapter? The 15th chapter of Corinthians. Paul wrote about the resurrection, remember? Remember he said Christ died for our sins and was buried and on the third day rose again? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Remember what he said about deliver to you what the scripture said concerning his resurrection? Remember what he said about James and the others who had beheld the Lord, 500 at one time? Remember what he said about not only Jesus' resurrection, but remember what he said in the 15th chapter. I'm coming somewhere. Follow with me. Remember what he said about our bodies being resurrected from the grave. I've got good news. These aren't the same bodies we'll have in glory. Not in heaven. For those of us who name the name of Jesus. For he says in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll have an imperishable body, an immortal body, a heavenly body, a spiritual body. But wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. I'm not finished. What about what he said in 15th chapter about the rapture of the church? Remember, I mentioned that a minute ago. In chapter 15, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Faster than you can bat an eye. GE has calculated that to 1/1000th of a second. Someone has calculated, A.T. Robinson said, it's faster than a gnat can buzz its wings. I think gnats have wings. I believe so. Anyway, what about that verse 58 of chapter 15 of Corinthians? I love it. Here's what we ought to do. Not only get up, but stand up. Look what he said. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Isn't that a great word today? Those of you that are teaching Sunday school, those of you serving God, reaching out to the lost, and those of you that are ushering or singing the choir, those of you that are doing some type of serving the Lord Jesus, he said, your work is not in vain. I know you don't feel like it, like you may be getting rewarded. I want you to know, though, thank God. God says, be steadfast. By the way, you know what the word steadfast means? I looked it up to be sure. It means, one translation puts it this way, be settled, settled down. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't know about y'all, but I'm facing and finding myself in this day of busyness and things going on. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves not being settled. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of distractions, aren't there? You got this going on. You got this going on. You got this going on. You need to do this. You got to do this. This is demand. This is responsibility. Even those that are retired understand. And I say even those that are retired. They told me, Brother Pastor, when you get retired, you think you got a lot of time, but you really don't. You got more projects to do around the house. You got time to do it. Somebody say amen. Be steadfast. God wants us to be steadfast. Soldier, are you steadfast? Soldier, are you erring? No. Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. He that loves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Soldier, I'm looking at some soldiers. I love you, dear precious men. I love you, dear precious lady, in the name of Jesus. And I want to urge you. I want to exhort you in the name of Jesus. I want you to, God help us all to be steadfast. And then he says, unmovable. That pictures a man in military racing to his enemy. Bullets flying all around him. Brother John can relate to this. Others that have been in military, John Bassett understands this terminology. Ronnie does, jumping out of planes. Can y'all understand how anybody would jump out of a good plane? Say amen. Ronnie's jumped out of some good planes I'm talking about. We talked about it the other night, 3 o'clock in the morning, didn't we, Brother Ronnie? Over there at Huddle House in Jackson, Brother Russell and Ronnie and I and Ann sat there and talked about the things of God till 3 a.m. in the morning. If you want to be a night owl, hang around Brother Ronnie, all right? Hang around that crowd. Anyway, unmovable. Wait a minute, I've got to move on. First, get up. Second, stand up. Three, check up. What do you mean check up, Brother Pastor? Hey, how's your focus? What kind of vision you got today? Is it 2020? Is it 2050? Where is your focus? I dare say that we get out of focus. That's what gets us off track. Our vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Habakkuk wrote, write the vision, make it plain, that they that read it may run with it. Though it tarry, it will surely come to pass. So, what is your vision? I mean, where's your focus? Are you staying focused? Watch. Are you staying focused on Jesus? Even right now, some of you are distracted. I know it's easy to get distracted. Oh, yes, it is. And spiritually speaking, instead of running the race, instead of keeping the faith, instead of following Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we get distracted. Where's your focus? Checkup time. Checkup time. Checkup time. Checkup time. I think Braxton was telling me, he thinks I'm talking to him about checkup, amen? It's not your checkup yet, but it's our checkup. Hey, look. Remember Jesus and the disciples when they're in that storm? Remember when Peter got out in Matthew chapter 14 on the water? Remember how Jesus said he bid him come to him? And he did, really. You mean Peter walked on the water? That's what I'm saying. So the Bible says. And then you know what happened? Peter, the Bible says that he saw the wind boisterous and he saw the waves. And what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. And what happened? He began to sing. That's exactly what happened. He began to sing. And Jesus heard him say, Lord, save me. And praise God, he was saved. By the way, God will hear your prayer if it's long or short. Amen. He did in Peter's case. How is your focus? How's your focus? Now, check up, stand up, check, get up, stand up, check up, and then four, shape up. What do I mean by shape up? I believe the Lord is calling us as a church. I believe the Lord is calling us as Christian men and women.
like never before, two come together as one. Why do I say that? These are not days for you to do your thing and me to do my thing. Rather, these days are requiring for us to come together under the lordship of Christ and be unified. Why? Because the enemy will come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why? There is power in unity. Psalm 133, the psalmist said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Shape up, shape up. It's not time for us to be lone rangers, do our own thing, live on an island. God never meant for you to do that. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked, because Romans 12 talks about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about those spiritual gifts the Holy Ghost has given us. Why? To serve the Lord. Why? To honor the Lord Jesus. Why? Because one day we're going to stand. How many believe we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day? Exactly right. That's what the Word teaches. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So then let every one of us appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And our works will be tested, whether they be built upon wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stone. Jesus' fiery eyes will test our works. I don't know about y'all, but I think, oh God, help my motives to be pure. Whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do it all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Hey, come together. Come together. Listen to me. I may not dot my I's like you do. I may not cross my T's like you do. That's all right. I'm still a brother. You're still my brother. I'm still your friend. You're still my sister in the Lord. And I believe these days are calling for us, the blood bought, the blood washed, to start praying together more. What do you think? Amen. I think it's time for us to start bearing each other's burdens a little bit more, don't you? I do. I think it's time for us to start exhorting one another daily. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Tell me, are you praying for somebody today? Tell me, when's the last time you prayed for somebody with them? You say, but I don't have anybody to pray with. I challenge you to ask somebody if you can pray with them. I dare say they'll say, I'll be glad for you to pray with me. Are you praying with anybody? Hello? Are you praying with anybody? Tell me, who have you encouraged lately? Have you encouraged anybody lately? You say, but no, I need encouragement. That's the more reason you need to encourage somebody else. Given it should be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give it on your bosom. Hey, look, shape up. Get up. Stand up. Check up, shake up, shape up. And then finally, look up. I'll be done in a moment. Look up. And what I mean in the context of Luke chapter 21 and verse 28 is the end time scenario. And Jesus is referring to in that time, not the rapture, but after the 7 years of tribulation when Christ comes again in his second coming, as Matthew depicts it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30, when he said, then should appear the sign of the Son of God coming in the clouds of heaven in power and in great glory. Jesus said this in Luke 21, and we're certainly seeing this in these days. Something's going to happen. He said, men's hearts will be failing them for what? I can't hear you. For fear. Fear. Oh, look what all's happening. Oh, look at our meager resources. Men's hearts will be failing them for fear. But you know what Jesus said? Luke 21, 28. He said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Look up. Look up. Aren't you tired of the down look? How many are tired of the down look? How many are tired of the way things are going? Stop looking at the dirt. Start looking to the clouds. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Yeah, I can have an attitude of gratitude. Yeah, I can do like Paul said, by his grace, finally, brethren, what things are true, what things are honest, what things are just, what things are lovely, what things are good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, Philippians 4 and 8. And I've learned to be content, satisfied. And regardless of my external circumstances, I'm satisfied in the Lord. I'm content in his plan for me. I'm running the race. I'm fulfilling his purpose. And I'm not going to let circumstances control me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Stand up, look up. And then the fourth question is this.
How are we to live? Can I say this? In Jesus we have peace. In Jesus we have comfort. In Jesus we have life. In Jesus we have forgiveness. In Jesus we have justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus we have a purpose to live and a purpose to die. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm caught between a hard place and a rock. Not literally, but he said this, I have a desire to part to be with Christ. I'm in a strait, bewitched is that word. I have a desire to part to be with Christ, which is far better, but nevertheless, for your sakes, I remain. God's got us here for a purpose and a plan. Amen. Run the race. Keep the faith. What are we to do? How are we to live? Then finally, how can we have assurance? Look at verse 20 and 21. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. How and why can I have assurance and confidence in these days that are uncertain? I mentioned to you earlier. Do you believe God's in control? Do you really? Are we living like God's in control? We're not living like God's in control, are we? Revelation 17, 17, I love it. The Lord said he put it in the heart of those, meaning even today, to fulfill his will. He's ruling. He's ever ruling. And as I mentioned earlier, think with me for a moment. Think with me just for a moment. One last moment. If the Lord has fulfilled his promises as he did in the days of Daniel, 500 years before it ever happened, Messiah would be cut off. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. After the 70 years, Messiah, the 62 weeks, Messiah, 69 weeks, 70th week, is in the reference to Daniel chapter 9. Messiah would be cut off. Did it happen? Yeah. Jesus was crucified, a violent death. And those other prophecies I mentioned, what about when Jesus, when he stood at the temple? Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. He's at the temple. This is a magnificent, humongous building that Herod had built. You know how long it took him to build it? 46 years. 46 years. It was a renovation of the old temple. Guess what the old temple was built out of? Not Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was absolutely and just a magnificent building. But then Zerubbabel and Zechariah, Haggai, we've been studying on Wednesday night, came back, built it out of wood, a temple out of wood. Herod renovated it. Jesus is standing at the temple. 2 3-ton stones, 15-ton stones, and Jesus said, not one stone. He's talking to his disciples. Get the picture. He's fixing to go over to the mount called the Mount of Olivet. After he had gone to the temple, he said, not one stone will stand upon another. The disciples said, wait a minute. That temple, look how big it is. 2 3-ton stones and 15-ton stones. What are you talking about? Did it happen? Absolutely. 70 AD. Remember Vespasian, Roman emperor? Remember his son, Titus, General Titus? Extra biblical information. Remember Titus and his army? They shot arrows into that limestone. Remember what happened? The temple burned. And those stones were thrown down in 70 AD. They're not standing to this day. I'm telling you this. Jesus said it would happen. It did happen. 30 years, approximately 40 years after he said it. One after another of this book has been fulfilled. Can y'all hear me? Don't you think that this book will be fulfilled one of these days when Jesus comes again? Let's stand together. Absolutely. Something's about to happen. Something's fixing to happen. A lot of times it catches us by surprise. A lot of times we're unaware. A lot of times we're preoccupied. I believe that's why the Lord had me to share this. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, the son of a prophet, but I know this. The Word of God is absolutely correct. And I know this. A God like that, that's got this world under his control, and the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever we will. A God like that, I can trust him. You can trust him. You can put your life into his hands. Can't you do it? Absolutely.
Is he able to hold you steady in the midst of all the turmoil, trouble in this world? He's able to hold you steady. Let's trust him today. Let's depend upon him today.